Welcome to Between Heaven and Earth, an internet radio talk show where we help you connect spirit and divine guidance. Lisa Kay, your host, brings you shows that can enhance and transform your life with tips and new ideas for more happiness, abundance, and better relationships. Lisa is an expert on intuition and can show you how to strengthen your inner guidance to empower yourself. Each show is positive and uplifting to inspire your day. Her guest speakers are specialists on self-help, positive thinking, spirituality, and conscious living. Be the best that you can be with Between Heaven and Earth, conscious living for your soul.
And angel blessings to everyone. Our show today is called, What If Seinfeld Was a Spiritual Guru? And our special guest is Fran Shaw. So what would spirituality sound like if Seinfeld were to teach it? Lord have mercy, waking up in the spiritual marketplace is a unique and valuable guide that helps readers to recognize their own power. And Murphy can help you with your spirituality by entertaining you in a way that keeps you on track with a sense of humor. Anyone who takes time to truly absorb the messages in Murphy's story and follow the advice within will learn exactly how he or she can overcome challenges to live by choice and not by chance. With his thought-provoking words, Murphy will put you through some serious paces while you're belly laughing. Maybe we'll have some belly laughs today. So join us today as we talk to Fran Shaw about her book, Lord Have Mercy. Now, Fran Shaw has been a longtime practitioner in a spiritual discipline and is also a university professor and award-winning author whose books include Notes on the Next Attention, Writing My Yoga Poems for Presence, 50 Ways to Help You Write, and of course, Lord Have Mercy, Waking Up in this Spiritual Marketplace. Welcome, Fran. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, Lisa. Hello, everyone. So glad to be with you all.
Oh, it's wonderful. I just love the whole thought about, you know, a spiritual guru, you know, being a funny one, a comedian, and your book is really quite interesting, taking an interesting approach to a spirituality. How did the book come about? Why did you write Lord Have Mercy in this way?
It's very interesting because I think that Mercy is so, in a sense, anti-guru. It's so funny that you're, you know, talking about him that way. I think what happened was I was, of course, on sabbatical from the university, and with the task of writing a book, I had 4 months, and I was actually looking at some drawings by a friend of mine, Bruce M. Sherman. They're very witty drawings. They have to do with the search for higher consciousness. But they're very funny, sort of very odd, and they've never been published before. I was going to do some captions for them for him. At the same time, I was sitting and trying to write about higher consciousness in the hopes that it would compel me to be more conscious while writing, you know, so the process itself would be, you know, useful regardless of what happened. Mm. And I'm trying to write about this, and I'm looking at what other people are writing about this, and I'm writing it. It was so frustrating. It just seemed like I was making spinach out of it.
You know? Gosh. And writing is frustrating to begin with.
It's so true. And here's something that's so important to me. I mean, it's really number one with me, you know, every day, this trying to be awake and be present and work and continue this discipline. So the thing is, I looked over at one of these drawings that was on the bed, and it was this kneeling kind of stick figure with a little bird on his head, and he's beseeching the heavens. And Bruce had written, Lord have mercy, on the side. And it made me laugh. I thought,
and he had a bird on his head?
He had a bird on his head. There's a really, excuse me.
Oh.
And it made me laugh. I thought, so I just typed the words on the screen, Murphy here. And then all of a sudden, this voice came in that was so funny. I don't even know where he came from. And he starts talking about, writing about the mystery has its dangers, like putting one's hands all over it and believing in the one who thinks he knows. I mean, Murphy says something like, in the garden for a nanosecond and I become the Wikipedia of flora, you know? So I'm laughing and I'm thinking, wow, keep it going. Let it come. So, you know, every other paragraph, there's some real surprising, funny little statement that Murphy makes. And so the laughter was very freeing because it's energizing and freeing. And I thought, you know, let it happen. I'll give him a topic and let's see what Murphy says about that topic. And that's how the book went, morning, noon, and night, for every day for 4 months. This voice came through that was thoroughly entertaining to me.
Well, you know, but that should be part of life. I mean, you know, I think spirituality is not all seriousness and, you know, heaviness and here are the rules of life and you have to follow those. I think it should be every aspect of life. And, you know, why shouldn't all that is or God have a sense of humor after all? You know, it's everything. And that's where we get our humor from.
Yes. I think there's a saying from Meister Eckhart that God laughs and plays, I think is the saying.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's lovely to feel that, you know, others have this impression that there's something sort of mischievous and joyous and exciting and completely unknown, completely mysterious about what we're doing on Earth. And this is what really is fueling Murphy. And he is so sort of tired of that, you know, looking at things with that knitted brow, you know, like all of a sudden becoming, you know, mindful is a another task on my to-do list for today. You know, everything gets leveled down.
It is. It is another task. Oh, I have to go meditate and you know, I didn't do my whatever, my prayers or.
Yes,
you
know, and then there's guilt.
I like his, I don't know if you'd call it a reverence. It's an irreverence for the seriousness of the way we express or the practices and the spirituality. My favorite was I'm in the stream or up the creek.
Yes, right. At any moment, that's our choice.
I always want to be in the flow, right? We want to be in the vortex, but you're either in the stream or you're up the creek. That's what we feel like sometimes. We're up the creek.
Exactly.
And what would he say to in that case?
Well, he would say that you noticed you're up the creek. Hallelujah! This is this is the temple bell ringing to call you to become present again. Because up the creek simply means, oh, I've noticed that my world has well, he puts it this way: is that the sun blazing gold across the horizon? I hadn't noticed because my world has shrunk to the size of a kumquat. So when you realize your world has shrunk to the size of the kumquat and you've got this obsessive thinking or this low feeling happening, things that, you know, which happens.
And we feel that way. We feel like our lives are just so full of worries and stress, and things are pulling us in every which way direction, and we're trying to do the best we can, and we have to worry about this, that, and the other thing, you know, whether it's a home life or work life or our kid life or, you know, or spouse life or boyfriend life. And it feels like we're juggling things all the time and that we're drowning in the creek. And what do we do?
Well, what Murphy says is he had some, this is in chapter 2 of Lord of Murphy. He says, oh, my helper, my prod, my Murphy, whack, smack, I must be pretty thick. Or pretty lucky for all these reminders that keep coming my way.
That's good. Reminders.
It's like the Zen monk hitting you over the head to wake you up.
And if you don't remember, it hits you harder, right? I think that you get more. It just keeps going. It builds.
Well, you know, if we're so, if we're such an obstacle to this flow of conscious energy that's always in us, always flowing through us, but there's something in us that's not seeing it, that it's hidden from us. If we're that thick, as Murphy feels he is, that he needs to get wham, bam, hit over the head by all of these suffering, different kinds of emotional suffering that we go through every day, mm-hmm. that really is the, we have to see that as the big reminding factor. That's the temple bell ringing that says, wait a minute, is this the whole story? Is this all that's here? Because even my complaining about something to myself internally, which I do all the time, even that could be my biggest reminding factor, because in a certain sense, what is animating even that complaining? What is animating even that obsessive thought?
Or the negative things, the things that happen to us, right? It's all part of that bigger picture, even though it hurts so much.
Well, you know, it may be that it's to get our, quote, attention, because we're just drifted here and drift taken there. Our attention is passive. It's taken by every passing, you know, I that takes over and is in the driver's seat. You know, she starts chapter one, he's driving on the road and he talks about different, you know, things that take over the driver's seat, you know.
Well, does Murphy believe that we're here to learn lessons?
Well, he has a whole section, of course, in chapter 7 of Lord F. Murphy about beliefs, and even numbers the lesson. Oh, this is lesson 1212. You know, he talks about his own lessons.
So what does he say? Does he say that we are supposed to have lessons, or the lessons are just, or what are they?
Yes, that the lessons are that we are going to learn how to use this suffering that seems to be almost hardwired for it. The amygdala seems to be working overtime since we're in the fight or flight mode. It's still working overtime. We're getting these big responses to these little nothing momentary transitory events, but we get this big emotional, really making the elephant out of the fly. And sometimes it's you know, real, but I mean, I'm talking about just the daily, you know.
Right, and then we overcome them, right? I guess that's, or we learn how to deal with that.
Just to deal with it, that's our big helper. Mm. That's our helper.
So the bad things aren't bad. They're actually good.
They may be necessary.
Yeah, and help us, I think to help us at least reveal ourselves, to understand ourselves and the world and how we relate to it a little bit better.
Or even more, to remind us, wait a minute, if what is actually, what is the energy behind that's animating this thinking process or this sensation, this rush,
and that it's okay,
cortisol.
Right? I think that's also, that's a big thing, you know, that the world is all right, we're okay, and that, you know, we can turn within.
There's another aspect to that, too.
Well, why don't you hold on to that? Because we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the other aspect. Yes.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
And welcome back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio. And I'm sitting here with Fran Shaw, or actually Fran Shaw sitting on the other side of the microphone. and we're talking about her book, Lord Have Murphy. And and how we can sort of use Murphy's teachings to help us in our spiritual life. So, and we had left off, Fran, with the other aspect of, I guess, accepting our lessons and accepting what's going on, the negative things in our life.
I have another angle on that.
Yes, I want to hear that.
Courtesy of Murphy. So, and because we're talking about what does it mean, conscious living, I think this is pertinent because it's actually behind all the humor, and which is so freeing because it sort of breaks the hold of the, you know, the kumquat mind of the being identified and contracted when there's something so big and amazing that's animating us. Just to say what the message of the book is, that behind it all, it's not stated overtly in the book, but it's absolutely what Murphy returns to again and again when he talks about his own, you know, search and the search of these other seekers that are mentioned in the book. And that is that there's many pathways today that are preparing us for a higher level, but we might not realize that beyond concepts and techniques, there is a finer attention, a sacred energy that is coming into us at every moment.
I love that.
Yes, it's this animating force. I mean, it's the thing that keeps my heart beating. Thank God I don't have to be responsible for that, and keeps my lungs moving. I don't have to do that. Thank God.
Yeah.
There's this animating energy. And the thing is that it's a subtle energy that's penetrating the body as we speak, moving through it. And I can perceive that because I'm a human being. And recognizing its touch takes us from self-awareness across the threshold into awakening. And that's a distinction that's not really being made too much today. It's where mindfulness is leading us, and yoga and meditation leading us to, and perhaps we've been in it many times, we're just not recognizing it yet. Murphy is calling for us to actually become so sensitive, so totally receptive in a moment, so fully present to the energy field of the body, that we begin to actually perceive this vibrating something, this subtle energy that's permeating us. And the interesting thing is that he makes this discovery, I think it's as early as chapter 3, that focused attention, like when we focus our own attention, yields to this finer attention, the capital A attention. This is what the word Lord means in the title. It's not a higher power only. It's these qualities that one experiences when one awakens. It's
okay. So how do we do this? Because we're I think there's a gem here that is really, really important. And how, if we were to break it down in very simple to everyday terms for people, how does one become aware of that and you know, connect?
A wonderful question. And although Murphy always says, he's no teacher, that's for sure. There is a chapter in Lord Have Murphy called Wake Book. It's towards the end.
Yes, I wanted to talk about Wake Book.
So Wake Book, Murphy is trying to talk about what it means to cross this threshold from being even self-aware into awakening, and in terms of a new app,
yes,
opens the source app, as he puts it, and the app has a couple of components to it, and one is that it pings, and when it pings, and this is like that temple bell reminding you to, or the hit over the head, it pings, and at that moment you can move into what he calls observing mode, and all that means is witnessing my body as it is in this moment. It's the foot in the door to self-awareness and higher states. It isn't for information gathering. It's simply to create a connection between my mind and body that wasn't there a second ago.
And then what do you do? What happens once you've made that awareness? Oops. Uh-oh. Oh, my. Let's see. We've just lost Fran. I'm going to get her right back. She was just about to tell us. How do we connect? All right, so we're going to try to get her back on as we're talking about Franchot's book, Lord Have Murphy. And Murphy, who's the one who is giving us the spiritual teachings, and see how we can get her back on the air. Okay, so what are we trying? I'm still trying to get her back. Gee, this is live, so we're experiencing some technical difficulties. So let's see what we can do here. Fortunately, I don't have a producer, so let's see if we can get her.
Oh, too much back. Energy?
I guess. You're back.
Sorry. Too much energy. It blew out the circuit.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't know what that was.
All right, so, I'm going to take it down a notch.
Yeah, I think we were connecting way too much. Way too
much. We'll take it. Anyway, so.
So I think we were at, so once you become aware, this is very, you know, very abstract. So we were trying to, you know what, let's shift a little bit. If I know, one of the things we talked about in our pre-show call was about how you can kind of use these methods, I believe, when you're sitting down to write. And I have to do a lot of writing myself for my books and my articles and blogs and so on. And sometimes just sitting there to write, you know, I want to connect to that source within and have it come out. And I think we were talking about a process. Is that correct, where there's a process that is like this wake book?
Absolutely. The wake book process is the process that I actually use with my students in creative writing classes in order to have all of us, when we're wanting to write, connect with this intense, animating source.
So how do you do that? Let's do that. We've got 5 minutes.
Sure.
Take us through. What would you do with your students?
Well, I would first of all see, you know, what it is they're interested in writing, and we would put a sort of a question mark at the top of the page. It could be even something as simple as what I'd really like to write about is, you know, it's not unlike journaling, but what I'd really like to write about is, and then instead of answering from just the top of one's head, you know, oh, this is what I always say, we just take about 60 seconds to, you know, start from the top of the head, sense the body, sense the top of the head and down through the torso, sense the seat on the chair and down through to the
soles. So you're not thinking about the question anymore.
So you're not thinking about the question.
You're being aware of your body. You're being aware
of breath.
Feeling your breath, following your breath.
And okay. When one is so interested in this, inhabiting the body more and more with attention, following breathing, the ears open. When one isn't even thinking about picking up the pen, that's when you pick up the pen.
Oh.
And then you just write nonstop and talk on paper for 2 or 3 minutes with no critic.
Whatever comes.
You don't allow any critic, and no critic is allowed. This is right brain activity. So, you know, left brain, later you'll edit. Now you just write nonstop. And so you're writing from an energy, from having created a space in yourself from which words freely flow. And that's how we generate a lot of writing in these creative writing classes.
Wow.
And that's how I also work myself sometimes when I want to start something new. I may have done the research. I may have notes and notes and pages.
Were there some problems that your students might have run into? Do they get maybe the judgment? You know, all right, I'm ready to write and I'm going to do free. But then the judgment comes up, the self-criticism. How do you handle that?
I tell them they can't do it for the first 4 weeks of the class.
Which they you have can't to judge?
Only write abundantly, trusting that later we will switch from right to left side, left brain, put the editor's hat on, which is a completely different hat from the creator, different sides of the brain, different functions. And so they just, the task is simply to write abundantly as we're generating usually stories, poems, things like that, even articles.
Where do you think the writing comes from? when you do.
But I certainly think that the best original writing is coming from some place that's not necessarily personal. That's it's coming through the writer, that the writer in a certain sense is allowing something very deep and possibly universally human to appear on the page, because when you're tapped into or even have just a taste for a few seconds of this animating quality, which is just the beginning of the whole unknown, it's an unlimited dimension, this finer attention. When one has a taste of that, then it's something that can bring surprises onto the page.
What was it for you?
Surprises. Look at Murphy. Look at the surprises he put on all the pages.
So he came out, yes.
And with humor and energy. You know, when I read Murphy, it cheers me up, you know.
Oh, well, does it feel like it's not you? That not Murphy's me. Not you?
Yeah, it cheers me up. Mm-hmm.
And does it feel like the writing writes itself, I would say? Did Murphy write himself?
Well, you certainly know you've tapped into a voice that's really coming, wishing to be expressed, when it starts to just come out and come out and come out. And you
is
don't
all your
to.
Writing like this?
My writing?
Yeah. When you write, do you always do this?
I actually am. I do lots of kind of research. I look at all different aspects of things. I write down lots of notes of things so that it's on a page somewhere. But also it's gone through me. And then I set that aside and I sit down with maybe possibly that little prompt at the top of the page. It could be the title of something. It could be the first few words of something. It could be a question. And then just try to, at the keyboard, you know, with my sensing my hands that are going to be touching those keys. I may even have a picture of a teacher or somebody like that. Nearby that I could sit with for a second that helps bring me into being collected, you know, and then just trying to come into a collected state and notice the light around me, and then just start typing without the critic.
Well, that's perfect. I love that. I love that.
At least
that's great.
Let it all come out.
Well, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how you listeners can connect with Fran and her book. And we'll talk a lot more about that connection with it.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
I'm Maggie Chula.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. Join us every week here on OM Times Radio for Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
The future of Internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
And welcome back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio, Conscious Living for Your Soul. And we are on the Om Times Radio Network. Wonderful place to be. We love being here. And I'm talking to Fran Shaw about her book, Lord Have Murphy. And Fran, let's talk a little bit about where people can connect with you. I got your website here. Fran's website is franshawbooks.com. FranShawBooks.com. And you can get Fran's books. You can find out more about her. What else can we do over there on your website, Fran?
You can meet Murphy.
Oh, let's meet Murphy. You can meet Murphy on the site. How can they meet Murphy?
Well, they can meet Murphy and hear him. Well, I mean, they won't hear him, but they'll write on the first page of FranShawBooks.com. These are the three of the many different books I've done. These are the three that are actually about attention and different qualities and degrees of attention. And the Lord Have Murphy. So Murphy, there's a big picture of sort of him on that page, and he talks about, you know, sort of his philosophy. And then you can click through to Lord Have Murphy, and then you can see the drawings, and you can see pull quotes from all 10 chapters. So in a certain way, you just can roam around and have a little fun. And looking at the drawings with captions are going to, you know, be very interesting. And then looking at some of the pull quotes from the different chapters to give a flavor of each of them, because each of them takes on a different sort of new age, now age topic, but in a, you know, in Murphy mode.
Yes. So Murphy speak.
Exactly. So he'll talk about, if he's talking about getting identified, that'll be a chapter called Head Case Studies, you know, or.
Right. And you've got other books as well, right? Writing My Yoga and Notes on the Next Attention.
Yes. Notes on the Next Attention is actually a book that sort of conveys 78 talks by an awakened teacher who was my teacher many years ago, who has since passed. Mm-hmm. And it's from a period when I worked with him in Switzerland. And the talks absolutely, it's a book that's not conceptual, you know, it's not a book of ideas. It's actually a vibrational book.
The words, a lot of great
words,
books,
yeah,
you've got out there. So you've got those. There's one that I have in my hand that I think would be great, but you don't have it listed because I know it's a little bit older, though. 50 Ways to Help You Write, Tips, Techniques, and Shortcuts to Help You Write Like a Pro. And I think that's for all the people out there listening who would like to learn to write a book, write a blog.
That book has had a lot of it's just very popular even today, you know, because I wrote it when I was first sort of getting into meditation, sensory awareness, and also this is 50 writing experiments. So each one goes step one, step two, step three. This one really spells it out.
Well, yeah, they're tips and techniques, and I love that, you know, shortcuts to help you write. And a lot of people are wanting to writing. For themselves or a blog or a book or maybe just to, you know, to journal. I think it's wonderful. So
yes, journaling is in there. It has all kinds of writing. It's like all in one guide, creative writing. It's writing for school, writing for college. It's also business writing. It's got experiments written out as experiments with examples, simple steps, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps to do the thing that you want to do or your son or daughter wants to do or your
husband. Oh, that's perfect. Wonderful.
Wants to do. It's
wonderful.
All in one.
Yeah, that's great. So you can get Fran at franshawbooks.com. And I'm going to move on to some other announcements I've got. I just wanted to start out with telling everybody a little story. When I first started to learn about intuition, and I took my first intuition class way long ago, I felt like I was a fish out of water, and you know, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't even know if I could do it. I thought, you know, other people have, you know, I might have some intuition. Other people have it. I don't know if I had any of it at all. And I wasn't really sure, you know, but I really wanted to try. And I was there sitting with a bunch of others who were just like me. And we were all wondering, you know, is this going to work? And amazingly, some of what I learned worked really well. Some things, not so much, but, I kept at it. And because, you know, all along I was finding out what was working right, what were the best of the best, and with the techniques that worked, and I learned and I developed some step-by-step processes that worked for me that made sense and gave me results. Because I don't like to do woo-woo. I like things that make sense. You know, give me the steps so that I know what I need to do and when I need to do it. And then when I went out to try them, I was surprised. I found myself out there doing intuitive readings for people and intuitive coaching. And from that, I honed a lot of techniques and I developed new ones that basically got better. And, you know, I didn't really want to be this reader, but I just wanted to be more intuitive. And I found after a while, my life changed. I found after picking and focusing on these right steps, I was intuitive all the time. It worked for me when I wanted and what I wanted, and even when I wasn't paying attention. And it was a part of my life. And it led me to situations and people that gave me a leg up in either my business, my personal life, everyday life, gave me some incredible advantages and amazing synchronicities. And I want to share that with people. That's what I do. I want to help you do that as well. So I've taken everything I've learned in the past 18 years and boiled it down into a weekend of gold nuggets of comprehensive and complete step-by-step techniques that I learned that work for me. And it's going to make you highly intuitive in just 2 days. And I watch my students go from, you know, probably where you're at, I don't know what I'm doing, to I can't believe how easy it is to get my intuition to work, and I finally get it now. And it works for everybody who's come. Everybody comes out with having a better intuition that they can make happen when they want and on what they want. And it's going to help you experience more ease and flow in your life, get to that zone that we've been talking about today, feeling that presence. It's going to help. It helps in relationships, solving problems, all that great stuff. So I do this only once a year. And I do it in person once a year, and we do this in Tarrytown, New York, in a beautiful space up on the tranquil Hudson River in Tarrytown, and at the DoubleTree. And we're going to be doing this November 7th and 8th, the whole weekend, 9 to 5 each day. And come out and be with like minds, and learn how to develop your intuition. I can teach you what I learned in these many years, and you'll learn it in 2 days. It's really awesome, amazing. So if you want to read more and sign up, you can go to my website at lmk88.com/press, P-R-E-S-S, and it tells you all about this Developing Your Intuition Level 1 course. And you can also go to my website, just the homepage of lmk88.com, and sign up for my newsletter and get a ebook on how to do some intuition exercises. We also have a sponsor from Dara Steinberg, and she wants to tell you this. Would you like to experience clarity about your life's direction? Have you lost your creative spark? Do you lack energy, feel overwhelmed or anxious? Well, Dara Steinberg is an intuitive clairvoyant healer who is passionate about helping people feel clear, calm, and excited about their direction in life. So get the support you need and savor life today. Make an appointment for an energy reading and healing with Dara, and you can get her at heartofwisdomhealing.com. That's heartofwisdomhealing.com. So let's get back to Fran. We're talking about Lord have Murphy, and actually we were getting into using some of those techniques to write, which I think was really, really awesome because I think sometimes we get into the writer's block. Where else could you use these techniques that Murphy has shared with us?
One could use these techniques brushing one's teeth. Washing,
really? Why would you want to use it brushing your teeth?
And I'll tell you exactly why. Because the Murphy's point of view is that we can live in both streams at the same moment. And that we should, he calls it getting on the bus running, that we don't need a lot of preparation in a moment to sort of become aware and then possibly even shift into this even awakening, an even more awakened state, conscious living. And so living in both streams means that everything during my day can be infused with attention to a greater or lesser degree. And if I begin to do that for very simple things, neutral moments, such as brushing my teeth every time I brush my teeth, or feeling my hands under the faucet as I wash my hands.
This is mindfulness? Is that what you would call it?
Well, I suppose it is I think mindfulness is a good word for it, although I'm not sitting and meditating.
Do you have a definition of mindfulness? I don't have one. So
it's an in vogue word. It's an in vogue word, and I'm really not sure about it. I prefer just saying that, you know, becoming aware of oneself, inhabiting one's body with attention, becoming more present. These kinds of things, are the closest to it. But I can do that very easily if I'm washing my hands at the sink. I mean, there's not much asked for me there, but I could infuse my hands with sensation.
And what happens when that happens?
If I'm lucky enough to get that ping, that reminder, oh, this is a moment where I could shift into an awakened, more conscious mode. Well, what am I seeing? I'm seeing the water on my hands. I'm seeing the water spots on the faucet. I'm actually sensing how my hands are automatically moving under the water. You know, it becomes a very intense experience. This is, you know, the Japanese tea ceremony. I'm holding a cup of tea for an hour. You know what I mean?
What has it done for you? Has it changed you in any way?
What it's done for me is given me a toolbox over the many, many years of having these little tasks during the day be infused with attention. It's given me a toolbox so that when I feel that I'm really down the rabbit hole, as Murphy says, never mind the steps, take the elevator. In other words, I can shift right into.
I want the elevator.
I want it now. Really, I want to be in both streams at once. I don't want a long preliminary. I don't have to fix Fran.
That's nice. Yeah, because when you think about that, you think about having to go back to your childhood and dig
fix
all that
stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue about on how we can take the elevator instead of the stairs.
Okay, great.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your hosts on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio. And we're actually on Facebook if you want to leave us a comment on our post for this show, What If Seinfeld Was a Spiritual Guru, please do. We are at facebook.com/betweenheavenandearth. And I do get to them. I might not get them to them immediately, but I do see them. And so share with us. We're looking for to hear from you guys who are out there listening, whether you're listening live or you're listening to the archives. So, Fran, we were talking about, I guess, life and how we can use the spirituality to help us get to take the elevator, not the stairs, to get to that space of what, I don't know, what would you call that? Where is the elevator going?
I think it's going to normal man. I think it's going to living different times at different moments during each day, where one is in both streams, where one is just carrying on in one's everyday life and is still at the same moment aware.
It reminds me of this. It reminds me of the spiritual practices, which, you know, that's my favorite thing is figuring out how to get to where we want to go, where the elevator is going, which I believe is enlightenment or nirvana, which the Eastern philosophies say is where you want to be. As you say, in both streams, which to me is both worlds. What are both worlds at once? Which is being aware of all that having that divine consciousness within us that we're aware of it.
Heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth, exactly, and being heaven and earth, but at the same time being in the physical world, right, and still being. And they say saints, that's the state that they're in. They have reached nirvana. They have reached enlightenment where they can be human and be awake and alive and interacting with the physical world. But they are also in the state of bliss of enlightenment, which, you know, I don't even know what that is. But oneness with God, I guess, is what they're saying.
Well, it's very interesting because... and what Murphy is saying in the book that's so freeing, and I love to hear it again and again, and he says it in so many different funny ways, but you don't have to be a certain way to wake up. You don't have to think a certain thought or behave a certain way or take a certain posture or go through a certain procedure. You don't have to be a certain way to wake up, because it's has more to do with a shift in attention. The only thing that needs to change at any moment is just where the attention is.
Your attention. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like when you shift into observing mode, this sense of being seen like a camera's on me. You know, it's not about information gathering. I'm not trying to, you know, get more data about me. It's not about content. It's
so what
about
happens?
Connection.
What happens when that happens?
It's about connection.
When we're...
connecting all the parts together, mind, body, feeling. So there's a unity, a balance among those parts.
Just being aware.
If one is aware, if the mind connects with the body through this seeing it, just observing it in a neutral way, a total receptivity, neutral way, then the feelings wish to continue with the seeing, and I'm more and more present as I let the seeing appear. That creates a new, brand new condition, and sometimes an entirely new creature appears then, because the threshold is crossed into actually a sustained attention, an activated, sustained attention that allows me to know I'm present and let me be present. It's this awareness of this subtle energy is sort of a hallmark of having moved and moving and being at least second by second when it can be aware of it in a A more, it's an enlightening state. I don't know if it's an enlightened
yeah,
state.
Yeah, I guess it would be hard. I get what you're saying. I think maybe without having experienced it, it may be difficult for people to say, well, what is that? You know, I think we get a taste of it when we try to become, as you say, just aware. I guess this mindful, this awareness of not trying to think or not thinking. Right? Well, I don't know if you're not thinking, but where you've shifted, as you said, right, your attention to being aware.
I know people have tasted this. I see it around people as they come out of yoga class. They just may not recognize it.
And maybe that's it. We just don't know that we're doing it and that we just want to have more of those. It's kind of like little pearls on a string, it sounds like. And you just want to add more of those moments more frequently in your life. And then what happens?
Yes. And what happens is that we're beginning to live in a new way where we're usually very reactive and we're usually very hard on ourselves. And there's a lot of unconscious suffering going on, but if there's
so does the suffering go away?
Well, I mean, of course it drops away by itself. All preoccupations drop away when the sun comes out. You know, it's like, you know, there may be an ant crawling across the rug, but it doesn't matter the sun is just radiating with life. So, you know, if you're coming out of yoga class or you're walking by the ocean or you're looking into a baby's face or you're, you know, sitting in the looking at a mountain peak or even a picture of a mountain peak or the wind in the trees, and all of a sudden you feel intensely alive, very balanced, very present and at peace for a second, that's being in touch with this animating quality because something is balancing
you. Even if it's just a concept of, again, stringing those pearls, having more of those moments, and maybe something else also shifts within us, the things that, you know, it's hard to describe because all of this is transcendent, as probably Joseph Campbell would say, transcending, that at least if nothing else, you know, in the mundane way of looking at it, is that we're going to have more of these blissful moments that put us in a state of oneness that we've had. I guess, you know, some of the things that I'm thinking about where we've had it is when we're having a wonderful time with our friends and family and laughing and just having that pause where maybe you notice like, wow, this is great. I'm feeling good just in this moment.
Absolutely. Murphy has little stories of people's little awakenings. There's a whole chapter towards the end of the book called Picture This. It gives stories of different people's little glimmers of awakening. And one is just that, sitting at the table with friends, and all of a sudden this sense of seeing the life behind the eyes in everybody at the table. Mm. Because something in me is awake enough to see what's there behind the eyes, that same energy that's flowing through all of us, that light there behind the eyes and feeling so sort of joyous. One is connected internally and aligned with something internally when one has that feeling.
So I guess if we could expand that and think about, well, we're going to feel that more often. I'm sure that helps your health, your state of mind, you know, both so mentally, physically, emotionally. It must shift you because it's in that state of mind consciousness that it sounds wonderful. And if we could just keep those going, and at the same time, I think you were talking about two streams, right? The one stream is that, and the other stream is what, life, living?
Just ordinary, just not changing anything about my posture, anything about my speech, just being regular me accompanied by this, observing and then even receiving, just becoming, trying to recognize what it is. It's so very
clear.
Oh,
I like that. So what do you mean by receiving?
Receiving means that I'm receiving an impression in this moment of what's actually animating the one that's talking. Mm.
So does that get to the point where then if we're always in this, you know, awareness, and even if we're receiving, how do we do things? How do we act? You know, how do we actually, because as we're going through life, it's like, well, we have to make decisions, and decisions require judgment. And when we're in that judging mode, we're no longer in that, awareness mode, right?
I think our best action in the world and our best decisions come out of being in a, as it were, I mean, doesn't it make sense, a balanced state where all my parts are in balance. I'm animated with an energy that's beyond, not mine, but what I am. Something beyond.
So are you going back and forth between, you know, thinking mind, okay, I have to make a decision, make the judgment, and then remember that I'm still this activated being. Right?
Where my attention is activated.
That's the key, the attention.
Yes.
Where do you put your attention? I guess we put our attention, we get into the left brain or the common judgment mode, and we're constantly doing that. That's all we are in.
Yes,
that's not good.
Murphy calls it identificationalis, judgmental lost focusitis.
Oh, I love that.
He talks about all of our identities.
So we really have to balance the two out. That's, you know, this has been a wonderful conversation. We're actually at the end of our show.
Sure.
But, you know, just being aware and finding a different way of looking at spirituality from, you know, it's okay. Everything is all right. Is a very refreshing. And I love that. I think you, there was a term of mindfulness that you came up with, which was like really cute.
Yes, all things are helping us, and we just can't sort of get hooked on anything because, you know, then the hook is in charge. But we are on the brink of discovering just how mobilizing our own attention can connect us with this energy and open us to this whole other way.
That's the key, right? It's where you put your attention.
That's it.
Being present and aware. Oh, thank you, Fran, for being here.
Such a pleasure.
So quick.
it went quick. Such a pleasure. And I even had a Nasruddin story, but we'll save that for next time.
You'll have to come back. Well, yes, I would love that story. Well, Lord have Murphy, go out and get it. You're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio, Conscious Living for Your Soul. So tune in next time. We'll be right back here on OM Times Radio Network. Angel blessings to everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye.